have been listening to, or you have just missed, the news from VK1WIA. Now it's time for VK6ARN and News West.
VK6 ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 14th of January 2024. Now on with the show.
Hello from Dennis, VK6AKR for the WAVHF Group. 2024 for us has started well, with success in updating the firmware on our 10 GHz Beacon Exciter controller board. After a long tussle trying to find out why the CW keying would not work on the high band output, it was determined to be a firmware issue. The board is a ZLPLL14G, and its creator, Wayne, ZL2BKC, became silent key in December 2022. That meant that accessing updated firmware and documentation was a problem. Thanks to the efforts of many in the WAVHF group trying to find other users of this board type worldwide, we finally made contact with Simon, ZL2BRG, who was able to provide up-to-date source code. This was compiled and uploaded into the microcontroller and hey presto, a working 10 GHz keyed CW signal. Our task now is to enclose it in a thermally protective fashion and remount it on our tower. How many of you have already made contact in the Ross Hull Memorial Contest this year, or the Summer VHF-UHF Field Day? Both contests are on, and there is little time to secure your contacts in the Summer Field Day, so please warm up your rig for 6 metres and above. The rules for both are published on the WIA website. Importantly, if you do make even one contact, please log it and submit the log. Your QSO partner will appreciate it. Until next time, this is Dennis, VK6AKR, saying 73, and be careful in our hot summer weather. Heed the Cancer Council's slip, slop and slap slogan.
Would you believe it? Some information went out with the wrong date on it. Probably my fault. So let's correct it now. The Peel Amateur Radio Group annual Pargfest swap meet will be on Saturday the 10th of February, the first weekend of February. It will be held again at the Mandra Bowling Club, which is on the corner of Allnut Street and Dower Street. It is just up the rise from the Mandra railway station. The doors open at 8 a.m. for exhibitors, and at 9, the doors will be opened for buyers and for attendees. The entry fee is, again, $5 per person. And there will be the draw of the mega raffle at the end of the day. For more information about the mega raffle, go to rafflelink.com.au/Pargfest 2024. There is a link on the Peel Amateur Radio Group website, which is www.parg.org.au. If you, your business, or your club want to book a table at the annual PARG swap meet, please contact the secretary by email now. The email address is on the PARG website.
Write this date up on your new 2024 diary now. Time, 0900 hours. Day, Saturday. Date, the 10th of February. Place, Mandura Bowling Club. Address, corner Allnut Street and Dower Streets, Mandura. Just up the hill from the Mandura railway station. Purpose, Peel Amateur Radio Swap Meet and Draw of the Mega Raffle Prizes. The Peel Amateur Radio Group Mega Raffle is on again now. Prizes will be drawn at the event on Saturday, the 10th of February. It is a great morning for all, and well worth the trip. Meet up with friends again and grab a bargain. Go to the PARG website at www.parg.org.au for more information.
Hi, I'm Bob VK6POP, and amongst other punishments for my sins, I'm Vice President of RASA, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. RASA was formed several years ago to become an alternative national representative body for amateur radio in Australia, with the aim of representing and promoting the hobby of amateur radio in Australia. Our objectives are to provide evidence-based research and strategic direction for issues related to amateur radio to third parties involved in the administration, management and regulation of the hobby, to promote amateur radio and its role in facilitating emerging communication technologies, to educate and encourage the next generation of radio amateurs, and to lobby the regulator in order to protect and enhance the privileges of Australian radio amateurs. In recent times, RASA responded to the ACMA's consultation on the class licensing and examination changes to be implemented next month. While most of the proposals were, in our opinion, fine, there were some gaps and issues that we, and possibly others, addressed. Time will tell if those extra concerns will be addressed. RASA's focus is on educating and growing the hobby by providing resources to new and existing amateurs. These resources include QRM Guru, which is the RF Interference Solutions Centre, VK Regs, a website explaining Australian amateur radio regulations, Amateur Radio Tech Support is a website that does what it says on the tin, your questions will be answered. RASA produces a quality online quarterly magazine, which we call QTC, which contains a wide range of interesting, useful and entertaining material. And being online, there's no need to write down any links that you'll come across in an article, just click and off you go. And although QTC is a quarterly magazine, we have, from time to time, when something important has cropped up, produced a special edition. It's that very model of flexibility that makes RASA such an efficient organisation. Now, the RASA Welcome to Amateur Radio Guidebook contains information that new and returning amateurs will find useful. And that again is online. And then the Amateur Radio Welcome Pack is hard copy. It's a folio full of interesting stuff sent on request to clubs who are conducting amateur radio courses to hand out to newcomers to the hobby. This printed resource is free and clubs are only asked to pay for the postage. We're looking at other online resources that can be developed and offered to amateurs. Now, all of these RASA resources are provided free, and they're provided to all amateurs. There's no need to be a member of RASA or any other organisation. It's there for your use. Finally, where do you find this trove of amateur radio goodies? All are accessible from RASA's website, vkradioamateurs.org. One big long word, vkradioamateurs.org. Have a look. You might be surprised.
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80-metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQ QRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations popping in and out when they can over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then, over time, getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kilohertz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQ QRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQ QRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750 or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. The other day, I stumbled on a project called Maya SDR by Daniel Echo Alpha 4 Golf Papa Zulu. Maya, spelled Mike Alpha India Alpha, is a star in the Pleiades cluster. The Maya SDR project homepage proclaims that it is an open-source FPGA-based SDR project focusing on the ADALM Pluto. Now, I can completely understand if that collection of words is gibberish to you, but take it from me, it's not. Let me explain. Pluto SDR, or Pluto, is the common name of a piece of hardware which is officially called the ADALM Pluto Evaluation Board. It's a sophisticated device made by Analog Devices that provides a radio platform with some very interesting properties. Specifically, it's both a radio transmitter and receiver, with the ability to use frequencies between 70 MHz and 6 GHz. It runs embedded software you can tinker with because it's all open source, and it's all very well documented. Many people have used the Pluto as a remote transceiver by controlling the onboard radio with a USB cable. While that's neat, it's not what I have been wanting to do for a number of reasons. The Pluto has the ability to sample data at a rate of 61.44 megasamples per second, or MSPS. That translates to a bandwidth of 56 megahertz. A typical amateur radio has a bandwidth of 2.5 kilohertz. This bandwidth comes at a price. For starters, USB on the Pluto isn't fast enough to handle 56 megahertz of data. So, if you're using it as a remote radio over USB, you need to lower your expectations. However, the hardware itself can process data at that rate, as long as it stays inside the radio. So, if you had a way to process data inside the radio and a way to show what you did with the data across USB, you could use all of the 56 MHz at once. The Maya SDR project does exactly that. It processes the data and presents it to the world as a waterfall image, like the one you might have seen in WSJTX, FLDigi, or STR++. If you've seen the voice version of my podcast on YouTube, you'll also have seen a waterfall. It's an image that scrolls vertically, showing frequencies left to right and signal strength by color, traditionally a rainbow that uses blue for low power and red for high power. Every time period, the image scrolls, adding another row representing the radio spectrum at that time. It's a very useful way to show massive amounts of radio spectrum data in close to real time. The waterfall that WSJTX produces is about 2.5 kHz wide. The waterfall that Maya SDR produces is 56 MHz wide. To give you some context, the entire HF spectrum between 2200 meters and 6 meters easily fits within 56 MHz. Now, there's a wrinkle. As I said, the Pluto frequency range starts at 70 MHz, so that means we can't use it to listen to HF. Well, not without the help of another gadget, called a transverter. Essentially, it moves a set of frequencies from one range to another. The gadget I have, a Spiverter 2 HF upconverter, translates anything between 1 kHz and 60 MHz and moves it to between 120 MHz and 180 MHz. If you combine the Pluto with Maya SDR and a Spiverter, you can plug your antenna into the Spiverter, connect that to the Pluto, connect to the Maya SDR website that's running on your Pluto, tune it to 120 MHz, and see 56 MHz of HF bandwidth scrolling past as fast or as slow as you want. You'll find the 10-meter band at 148 MHz, the 15-meter band at 141 MHz, and the 20-meter band at 134 MHz. Now, if that's not cool enough for you, Maya SDR is, as I said, open source. This means that the project publishes all of the code that makes this happen. The Pluto comes with a number of devices on board that process information. At the antenna end is an AD9363, essentially a chip that converts RF into digital and back. The digital information is processed by a device called an FPGA, a field programmable gate array. Field programmable means that mortals like you and I can change the software that it runs. Essentially, an FPGA is a programmable circuit board used for information processing. To scratch the surface of what that means, you could, for example, program an FPGA to behave like a microprocessor, or you could use it to do accelerated matrix multiplications used for neural networks like you can with a graphics chip, or in this case, a device that does all of the digital signal processing. Finally, the Pluto has a dual-core ARM processor. You'll find those inside most Android phones and Raspberry Pis, to name a few. It's used to extract data from the FPGA and present it on a web page. Oh, and there's a progressive web app for your phone, so you can see this waterfall on your mobile phone if you want. So, thank you to Daniel, Echo Alpha 4 Golf Papa Zulu, for sharing your project. It's very much appreciated. There are some caveats. The Pluto is easily overwhelmed by strong signals, so you probably need filters. I'm using a wide 2-meter bandpass filter between the Spiverter and the Pluto, just so that my local Wi-Fi network doesn't overwhelm the whole thing. You're receiving between 0 and 56 MHz, so you'll need an appropriate antenna. The frequency response for the Pluto isn't linear, so the same color on two bands might not be the same signal strength. You need to update the firmware of the Pluto, so make sure that you have a copy of the official firmware before you start, because some of the FPGA functionality has been removed by Maya SDR to make this stuff work. Most notably, the ability to use the Pluto across USB as a remote radio, which is restored if you reinstall the official firmware. It's all documented really well, and I'd encourage you to have a go if you're so inclined. If you're a software developer, Maya SDR aims to encourage FPGA development in the radio sphere using Amaranth. The project about page has more details. As random internet searches go, Maya SDR was a lovely surprise, and I can't wait to dig deeper. But that will have to wait until my computer stops processing something like 6 billion whisper records, which it's been doing for the past 2 weeks. What have you found worth sharing? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
Let's talk a bit about contests. Now, I'm no expert at contests, and I only do two or maybe three in a year. So what's so good about contests that I should talk about them? Well, lots really, or nothing, depending on what you're interested in doing. Let's take a look at what I find interesting about contests. Those of us who declare that conditions are awful because there's nobody on air often discover that there was nobody on air simply because there was nobody on air. Bring on a contest and there they all are. Contests are useful for honing up your on-air skills, especially those needed to work a pile-up when you venture into working DX. Contests are a good test of your equipment and you can discover what works best. Set up a few different antennas and compare them. Contests give you an excuse to do something different. Spend the weekend at the club rooms or take the caravan or camping gear to a nice RF quiet bush location. And you meet people. By the time the end of the contest comes around, you'll have worked a bunch of people several times. I can hear you asking, how do you get to know when contests are on? Well, that's easy because there's a website. Several probably, but this one is maintained by an Aussie, Alan, VK4 Sierra November. And Alan runs a calendar of contests, both Australian and international. Alan's website is vk4sn.com. And there's other useful information there too for contesting. Most contests run from sometimes Saturday to sometimes Sunday, usually for 24 hours. Some contests are conducted over a longer period. The Ross Hull contest, a WIA VHF UHF contest, runs for the whole month of January. Ross's DX contest runs over a 12-month period. If you're interested in finding out more about contesting, you should look up the contesting calendar, then follow the links to the website for each and read up. Probably the next time I talk about contests will be to get you interested in the John Moyle Memorial Field Day, which is on the third weekend in March. It's not far away. And this is a contest aimed at portable operation, although it's not compulsory to be portable. And working portable is something that I like to do.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
You may notice that News West has been light on for content lately, and I've been playing a lot of repeat stories, but you can help us to change that by sending your stories or contributions through to newswest@vk6.net.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 14th of January. I hope your year is going swimmingly at the moment. And today I have the following items for the helpline. I have from Glenn, VK6 Lima Golf Bravo, has a high-gain antenna. It's a TH3 Junior 3-element tri-band Yagi antenna for 10, 15 and 20 metre band. A new, not used, it's still in the box and hasn't been assembled yet, but you can get it out of the box and assemble it yourself. Normally about $995 Australian. He's selling for $550 to a good home. It can be driven to 600 watts with average gain of 5.8 dBd and front-to-back ratio of 25 dB. So if you would like that, please contact Glenn. His phone number is 0895927915. Again, 0895927915. Email is victorkilo6limagolfbravo@hotmail.com. victorkilo6limagolfbravo@hotmail.com. And Barry has a TS711 Alpha Kenwood 2-meter all mode transceiver for $300. He also has a Kenwood Tango Sierra 811 Alpha Kenwood, I said already, multi-mode transceiver for 70 centimeters, $300. He also has a Romeo 5000 Kenwood receiver from 0.1 megacycles up to 30 megacycle band and all operating modes, $150 for that receiver. It also has an ICOM 3200 Alpha plus power supply, the ICOM IC322 Alpha 2-meter and 70-centimeter 430-meg transceiver, dual band to you for $350. There's also a Uniden UHF CB for $100. Contact Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India, on email. His email is bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com. I'll say it again slowly, bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com. The mobile number is 0428 959 771. That's 0428 959 771. Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India, is his call sign. And Steve, VK6 Sierra Juliet, has a Flex 6700 transceiver, 3 years old but in pristine condition, and has a premium software-defined receiver, comes with expert assistance if you require it, and it uses version 3 firmware, asking $8,000 for that. There's also an ACOM, that's Alpha Charlie Oscar Mike, Alpha 2000 amplifier, capable of 2 kilowatts, with 85 watts of drive into a dummy load, of course, and brand new tubes, and comes with the both older version and new version of software controller, asking $6,000 for that or $12,000 for both units as a package deal. Contact Steve, VK6 Sierra Juliet, on his mobile 0447 767 518, 0447 767 518, or you may email Steve. His email address is Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo @Kennedy Kilo Echo November November Echo Delta Yankee - Sierra Juliet .com.au. I'll say again, Steve at Kennedy - Sierra Juliet .com.au. This is Roy, VK6 X-ray Victor. That's all I have for you for today. If you'd like to have anything for next week, please contact me. The address, roy.watkins@bigpond.com. Thank you, 7-3. Until next time we meet. Cheers.
Hi there. It's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-Kilo Zulu 7 Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.